We are unstable bodies.
Catching the Pod, a podcast series.
Episode 1. Monica Gagliano.
Some of the sounds, it sounds more like a crackling of things and a bubbling of things. And some days the tree is very active and very, you know, I think it depends as well on the time of the day. Yeah, and the jacaranda and the casuarina, they do have a different sound.
We meet Monica Gagliano together with two tree species. She introduces to us the jacaranda plant, part of the bignonia family and home in warm parts of the world native to South America, and the casuarina plant, native to Australia, while in other countries of the world it has become known as an invasive species, such as in southern Florida.
The casuarina has a pine-like appearance with long plant hairs, growing preferably in dry conditions of coastal strands, while the jacaranda is a rather ornamental, lush plant with violet flowers, often planted in boulevards because of its canopy features.
In preparation to this meeting, we wrote Monica a letter. Monica meets these very different trees close to her home, in the interiors of southeastern Australia, close to the creeks and vast forests of a national reserve. We imagined to meet her personally in a greenhouse, talking while observing her practice.
But forced to remain distant and far away due to the restrictions brought about by the pandemic, we decided to enter a local greenhouse in Vienna, from where we will now introduce to you Monica, casuarina, and jacaranda. Not only will we learn about her perspective on the two trees, but also that she has left labs and greenhouses behind, taking her experiments outdoors.
That is the mic also that was picking me up. Mm-hmm. And it was the mic that, you know, my steps are recorded by this guy. Yeah. And these mics are really beautiful and sensitive, and they can be turned to be very kind of focused. So if I was singing, I would record very focused because I want just my voice. But they can also turn to 120 degrees. So they take a window of 120 degrees wherever they're facing. So because this was the machine that was attached to me and I was holding it in my pocket, this is what you're listening. You're basically capturing me and when I approach the tree, the space around the tree. Okay, here it is. So this is the hydrophone. One side goes in there, in the machine, and the other side is the actual mic. Yeah? So these are designed to go in the water, but because soil and water are very similar acoustically, they work under under soil, as under the ground very well as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these, basically, there was probably this much under the ground, under the tree. So mm-hmm. I dug mm-hmm. under the tree and then I placed the mic underneath it. So there is, of course, there could be sound of other critters walking around and everything. But if you listen enough, you start recognizing when those come through and when it's just the tree. Or not just, when it's the tree. And there are a number of different sounds that the tree makes, and there is also the sound of the tree when the wind moves it, which is different than the sound of a tree just doing its thing, sunny, it's just being a tree. In that sense, the recording from that tree for me contains, yeah, the birds, which are inevitable. And I like them. I kind of find them funny that they are, you know, passing through and interfering in a good way. But also in this recording, there is also me. Whether you can hear me or not is a different story, but I know I was there. And I know that recording is literally the tree in the context of that moment, which included my presence mm-hmm. and my muscles strained against it to be able to be part of that soundscape that is, you know, we think that is not audible, but it's not true. I mean, this is a big tree and it allows you to hear. Thank you. most plant physiologists would use different equipment. But often those equipments, you need to kind of push the equipment through the tree. And for me, when you do that, you are already changing the tree. That's not the same tree that you were trying to meet just a moment before. And like physiologically, the tree is going to just respond to that. And if that's a wound, of course, it's going to show you a wound response, you know? So I like the idea that the sound doesn't really, well, of course, it also changes the tree, but it feels like that the integrity of the body as the physical tree, you know, the trunk and the branches, is not being broken to allow this other instrument, this other body to penetrate and be present in there.
This conversation began with a small anecdote about a coffee dripper, a creek, and someone's system of fluids, about containers of water we all potentially share, about sharing itself, and a change of perspective. An anecdote told by Monica the day we first met in between Australian and Austrian time zones to chat about how to approach a podcast episode about meeting with plants, the different temporalities of plant and human, modes and speeds of recording and listening of speaking, and how to invite a plant into the conversation in the first place.
By sitting on it and by engaging like this, is literally, if we are going to listen to each other, I can't listen to the tree and be in a hurry because it doesn't work like that. I have to slow down, literally, to start with. But then to really sit and just really just be there, I wonder if I'm being tuned or attuned, as Vicky, you were saying, like, you know, and my physical body is actually finding a place where I'm, in a way, becoming more like the tree, as close to the tree as I can be as a human in terms of rhythm. And so then, of course, when I come back, my breathing is deeper and my heart rate is probably much lower. I know that the tree and the plants can respond to sound because they're a mechanical wave, and you know, we have done experiment that shows. So what it means that while I am sitting on the tree, not only the tree knows that I'm actually sitting on it, as he knows about birds sitting on him. But not only that, but it's like me in that position of embracing to get close for me to hear the tree. It also means that the tree is listening to my heartbeat.
Yes, that's right.
So my sound, my breathing, and that idea is really cool. Because the feeling that I get when Christina, at the end of my instructions was so then share how you feel. And I was thinking about it because, of course, I do this a lot. And I think if it was the first time, it would be a very different experience. And then every time it would be different. But because I do it almost, not every day, but often enough, I think my experience is slightly different.
We are misled into believing that the sound coming from the device is, in fact, a plant's voice. Like the human, plants have their own voice, and there is no need to use their electrical signals to produce a surrogate voice, writes Monica in a footnote on the devices which assign a musical voice to plants and make them sing, that have been around since the 70s.
you know, like even the language that we use to, you know, to communicate with each other, like the words that we use, the sound that we use, is eating some bone inside our ears. So the vibration is actually touching us. So exactly. Sound in itself is touch, first of all, and it requires the body. And to the point that last week, for example, I go there regularly. And last week when I went up there, I always had my headphones on. But at one point, halfway through the time that I was there, and I was for a few hours, and halfway through, I just felt like I'm going to take my headphone off. Because it really felt like that I was close enough to be able to hear without the headphones. So I took the headphone off. The recording was still going, but I took the headphone off and I pressed my ear against the trunk, like I'm on the tree. So I'm hugging the trunk like that is shooting off on one side. And I had my legs dangling on, you know, one on each side of the trunk, my arms around it. I felt like a koala. And I pressed into the tree and I could hear, I would say, as good as I was in listening to the tree when I was with the headphones. And I'm sure that my ears are missing some parts, but it wasn't less loud or less, you know, it was actually as good to me. And we know that, you know, without the birds, without the bees, like I think that in some recordings I have this really loud noise of like marsh flies, the ones that bite you. And it's like, they're so annoying. And at one point, I remember one recording, you can hear me doing this like slap. And there is this like, you know, that noise in the recording. And I thought, no, they should be there because the marsh flies were there. I was there. Everything that created the tree in that moment, that was the tree in that moment, included all of these. And I find that a lot of the other ways of, at least from a science perspective, a lot of the other ways of measuring the state of a tree, the condition of a tree, they are designed to be precise, which means that you want to have just that reading. But just that reading doesn't mean anything, really. It tells you a value or something. But I feel like, you know, as soon as you know that, oh, there were all the trees around, or there was the wind, or there was this, there was that, or there was Monica on top, or there was... then I think it gives you the tree. Suddenly you start to see the tree. And so in that sense, you know, the fact that the birds are present in the recording, you see the birds. You know that they were there and you can imagine them. While say that I took a sample of the, you know, the sap of something like that and did the chemistry of it, you would know exactly the chemicals that were there, but what do they mean?
Tepidarium.
this is unstable bodies walking, speaking, resting, breathing in Glasshouse Ants above Altanstraße in the 9th district of Vienna. Two or three or four bodies carrying recording devices, a hydrophone, a cardioid microphone, a recorder, and some fur. We are in Ericarium, Tepidarium, Caldarium, Fervidarium. Four climate zones with differing temperatures and humidity. There is no sky, but filmy windows glowing in a dirty orange color. We are here to meet with our guest in another way than expected. As it turns out, she is somewhere completely else.
This episode is part of Unstable Bodies, an artistic research project directed by Wolfgang Chapella at the Institute for Art and Architecture, Academy of Fine Arts Vienna. Funded as part of the PEEK program through the Austrian Science Fund's FVF project number AR574.
We thank Gerd Bachmann and Andreas Schröffel for opening their greenhouse doors at Glasshouse Ants, part of the research environment at the Institute for Molecular Systems Biology, University of Vienna.
You listen to Unstable Bodies. Christina Jauernig, Vicky Kirby, Johann Lorf, and Fabian Puttinger in conversation with Monica Gagliano, Casuarina, and Chacaranda.